Please stand by as we're about to begin. Good day and welcome to the Veterans in Support of Dreamers call. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Kathleen Farrell of National Immigration Forum. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and welcome to the National Immigration Forum, Veterans for New Americans, and Veterans for American Ideals press call. In September, the Trump administration announced an end by March 5, 2018, to Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA. A significant number of young people are already at risk of deportation, and that number will jump sharply after March 5th, unless Congress passes a permanent legislative solution that addresses Dreamers in a constructive, compassionate way. Yesterday afternoon, the groups Veterans for New Americans and Veterans for American Ideals sent a letter to House and Senate leadership calling on Congress to pass a permanent legislative solution for Dreamers. We are fortunate to have on the call today three military veterans to speak about the urgency of a solution. Rear Admiral Jim Partington of Nebraska is a Veterans for New Americans national co-chair and is a veteran of the U.S. Navy. Lieutenant Colonel Margaret Stock of Alaska also is a Veterans for New Americans national co-chair and a veteran of the U.S. Army Reserve. And Lieutenant Colonel Scott Cooper, United States Marine Corps and founder of Veterans for American Ideals. With that, let me turn to our first speaker, Admiral Partington. Please go ahead, Jim.
Thank you, Kathleen. Diversity is a part of what makes our military and our nation the strongest in the world. A permanent legislative solution for this issue would allow nearly 690,000 Dreamers brought to the United States as children to continue to contribute to our communities, economy, and the military. More than 97% of these young men and women are currently in school or in the workforce. And of these, some 900 who have already enlisted in the armed forces, many already possessing skills critical to our military effectiveness, such as medical training and language and cultural competencies that support our global strategic interests. In this home state of mine of Nebraska, with a relatively small population, we have 3,400 Dreamers who have grown up in our state, and they're now giving back to their home communities as teachers, accountants, cattlemen, counselors, entrepreneurs, and health professionals, as well as serving in the military. We cannot emphasize enough that congressional inaction means that our schools lose teachers, our ranches lose trusted employees, and our families lose parents. This is a created and unnecessary problem, and where our communities see strength, Congress has refused to bring papers up to date. Our armed forces will benefit from immigrants' patriotism, hard work, and skills. I have not met a more patriotic group of young people than Dreamers who were brought here at a young age and grew up in the United States. I support a permanent legislative solution for these DACA recipients who wish to serve in the United States Armed Forces as proposed by the legislation introduced to protect these Dreamers. And I thank you for the opportunity to discuss this with you all.
Thank you, Jim. Our next speaker is Lieutenant Colonel Margaret Stock. Please go ahead, Margaret.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak today about the issue of the Dreamers who wish to serve in the United States Armed Forces. It's important for everybody to know that with every day that passes, more than 120 DACA, that's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals recipients, popularly known as Dreamers, lose their protection from deportation and their ability to work legally in the U.S. and contribute to our economy. About 900 DACA recipients have voluntarily enlisted in the United States Armed Forces. It's important to know, however, that many more would have joined, except that the administration previously limited their enlistment to those who could qualify for a specialized program called Military Accessions Vital to the National Interest, or MAVNI. Despite the limitation on their enlistment, more than 900 stepped forward and did voluntarily enlist. But without legislation, more than a third of these DACA recipients who are in the MAVNI program will lose their ability to go to military training, and the military will lose their services as they face deportation from the United States. The military will also lose the potential of thousands more enlistees who would enlist, but for the fact that they've been limited to coming in through the MAVNI program. Clearly today, the armed forces need a broader pool of eligible recruits. immigrants are important to the military because of their sheer numbers. About 1.2 million recruitable non-citizens are in the desired age range and live in the U.S. These immigrants possess skills critically needed in the armed forces, including language diversity. They have far lower attrition rates and are much less likely to leave the military early in their service, saving critical time and money. Right now, the armed forces are facing a dire recruiting challenge, and that's because the unemployment rate is really low. Demographics have caused fewer and fewer people in the United States to be qualified for military service. And the armed forces are now faced with a recruiting crisis that has caused them to lower their standards and take many more less qualified recruits from the native-born population. The military will benefit dramatically if Dreamers are able to enlist because they are very highly qualified recruits. And there's widespread support among military leadership for allowing them to join the armed forces. For our nation's national security, it's important to open up this potential resource for military recruiting. And I support fully a legislative solution that would allow Dreamers to join the United States Armed Forces. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Margaret. And our final speaker this afternoon is Lieutenant Colonel Scott Cooper. Please go ahead, Scott.
Well, thanks very much, and thanks for the opportunity to join Admiral Partington and Colonel Stock in this. I come to this from perhaps a unique perspective. I served 20 years in the Marine Corps and spent most of it overseas, and I still think back to my time in Iraq. I did 5 tours there and then 2 in Afghanistan, and I got to go to a citizenship ceremony in one of Saddam's palaces in Baghdad. And that was a life-changing moment. I knew not a whole lot about immigrants that had asked to join the military, but I realized that they oftentimes cared for, loved, and wanted to serve their country much more than those of us that were born here. I have only known America my entire life. And so, you know, seeing someone that has such gratitude for the country that welcomed them and then gave them an opportunity, it's quite remarkable. I lead an organization called Veterans for American Ideals, which is a nonpartisan group of veterans that partners very closely with Veterans for New Americans. Much of our work has been in trying to support those interpreters and translators that served with us in Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as refugees writ large. And so welcoming Dreamers here is completely aligned and also why we are lending our voices to this critically important part of our country. Dreamers, by nature, are talented, hardworking, full of potential and promise. I saw it every day during my years in the Marine Corps. They were brought here by their parents, and they want to contribute their skills, talents, and allegiance to the only country they've ever known for most of them. Deporting them to countries they don't know would be nothing less than cruel, and it would also be an enormous waste of talent that we need in our military and otherwise. I will give you one example. After that ceremony that I attended in Baghdad, a book was recommended to me by one of the leaders there. It's called The Long Way Home by David Laskin, and it's about 17 different immigrants that came here to Ellis Island and then served in the First World War. And that story is timeless. I realized that I was almost a century removed from their stories and yet was witnessing the same kinds of heroism of citizenship that we were witnessing in Iraq and Afghanistan. In Dreamers, we have this group of patriotic young people who want to show their gratitude, don a military uniform, and defend the only country they've known. Think of the potential that we're losing in our military and our country if these people don't have the opportunity to become legalized. Every day that passes without a solution fails hundreds of thousands of hardworking young people. And if it fails our military, which would benefit so greatly from their service, we're the lesser for it. It's why I'm calling on Congress to pass legislation to give these young Dreamers the opportunity to remain here and fully contribute to our nation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Scott. And now, operator, could you please let media on the line know how to queue for questions?
Absolutely, and thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question, and please ask one question per each session. Please re-queue if you do have a follow-up question. We'll pause for just a moment.
In the meantime, Margaret, I'd like to ask you a question. Could you address how you think that the undocumented population might offset the recruitment crisis right now?
The undocumented population, particularly the Dreamers, are highly qualified for military service. Those folks who received deferred action for childhood arrivals have been pre-screened by the Department of Homeland Security, in a sense, to meet military recruiting requirements. They're not criminals. They're not gang members. They're educated. They're not terrorists. You know, they've got a U.S. education and done well for themselves. That's a requirement for getting DACA status. You have to have, you know, high school, college. You can't be a high school dropout and get DACA status. So they're American-educated young people, and we know from studies of the demographics of the population that they're highly propensed to join the military. Thousands of them would have joined already, except they've been prohibited from doing so. And we know from the fact that they've gone in to see military recruiters and have taken practice tests for the Armed Forces Qualification Test that they do very well on it. So it's a U.S.-educated resource that we're just not tapping into, and they do meet military enlistment standards. Unfortunately, recently, because of recruiting shortages, the military has started to drop its standards, and we're taking less qualified recruits now than would be ideal. And that has long-term consequences for the military. It means a force that's going to have more behavioral problems, more people dropping out of basic training, and the Dreamers wouldn't do that. We know that from studies that have been done by the Center for Naval Analyses.
Thank you very much. And, operator, we'll go ahead and take our first question, please.
Absolutely. And our first question is from Diana Kahn with Stars and Stripes. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just wondered if the timing on this, was intentional, that this came the day after the State of the Union, and I wonder if you could address the comments that the President made about Dreamers last night.
Kathleen Farrell, I'm the communications. Hi, this is Kathleen Farrell. I'm the communications director here at the National Immigration Forum. This is the topic right now, and the speakers today have been working on this issue, but I'm happy to let them address it as well. Jim, do you want to speak to this?
I'm sorry. What was the question again?
I just wanted to know how what you're working on right now relates to what the President's the State of the Union last night and where things stand in relation to the Dreamers and some of the comments he made that alluded to Dreamers last night. I'm just wondering if you could tie that in to where you are today and whether or not it was a coincidence that this, you know, your letter went out on the day of the State of the Union and you were speaking the day after.
I guess I would I wouldn't address the question of whether it's politically incorrect or whether the timing of this was I didn't have anything to do with the timing of this. My comment would be that I've gone around the state and I have met several of these Dreamers, and we have escorted them on visits to our congressional delegation so that we have a chance for them to meet our delegation and let them know what the quality of these young people is. And they are amazing people. It would be a foolhardy thing for us to try to remove them from our country. They're a resource that we need to keep here. They're all involved in activities that are contributing to to the welfare and the economy of the United States, including the military. And so regardless of the political issues, I would take this out of politics and just say this is a matter of doing what is beneficial for the country and what is fair and just for the individuals concerned.
And this is Margaret Stock. I'd like to echo that, but also say that I personally know a number of the Dreamers who have joined the military through the MAVNI program, and they're outstanding people. I know a young man from Haiti who lived in Florida, and he had temporary protected status. He was allowed to join the military after getting DACA status, joined the Army. He earned his citizenship, so he's not one of the ones that's in danger of being deported, but he's now an Army Ranger, and he's a stellar individual, incredibly physically fit, a model soldier, and somebody who has dreamed all his life about serving in the United States Armed Forces, dating back to the time when he was a child in Haiti, and he saw U.S. Army soldiers coming to provide humanitarian aid to his country when he was a child. He's always held a favorable view of the military, and it was his dream to join the military. I don't think we want to turn away folks like this. He's high school educated, speaks English perfectly. He also speaks a strategic language, Haitian Creole, and he's serving our armed forces honorably as a newly naturalized U.S. citizen. Why wouldn't we want to welcome many more of these types of folks into the ranks of the military? It's only going to be good for the United States and for our national security.
I can follow up with one last comment just to pile onto what they're saying. I think the timing is intentional. We have to have a solution. We need a solution. We missed an opportunity before the end of the year. We shut the government down over that. And if you look at the text and what our president said yesterday, he talked about dreamers. He has this line, Americans are dreamers too. He talked about how he wants to work with both parties to protect our citizens of every background, color, religion, and creed. That's a very inclusive language that he uses. And then when he talks about his pillars of his plan, he starts off by saying that he's offering a generous path to citizenship for 1.8 million illegal immigrants. And to frame it in those terms rather than who these individuals are, I think is unfair. I hope that there's a compromise there. They've got their work cut out to find a compromise. Finding a way to elevate our voices at this moment when we're on the cusp of another government shutdown, perhaps because of this, we're going to lend our voices to this.
Thank you, operator. We'll take our next question, please.
Absolutely. We'll hear from Alex Segura of IFE. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, you all. So I'd like you to elaborate a little bit more on these critical skills you're saying dreamers have to join the Army. Apart from language-wise, would you please, you know, elaborate a little bit more on that point? Thank you.
Margaret, go ahead and take this one.
Sure, I'd be happy to talk about that. It's just a little known fact that many of the dreamers possess technology skills. Many of them have computer backgrounds. In addition to having cultural and language expertise, many of them have profited from a U.S. college education in which they've learned different types of skills, scientific skills. They tend to be more qualified than the average native-born recruit for the United States Armed Forces because in order to get DACA status, you have to demonstrate a higher level of education than the average recruit who comes into the United States Armed Forces.
And just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, my apologies, that would be star one.
If there are no other questions at this time, I'd like to thank our speakers for joining the call today, and I'd like to wish everyone a pleasant afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And this concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.